Cuddle.
And here we are.
Got it.
Episode 23 of Mission Statements. With my friends up here above me. I don't know how I am on your screen, but I'm below because Mr. Joe Kelly, who is the Boston, I don't even know, man, like no GPS needed, Boston native for over 60 years, the greatest tour guide ever, Delta Bravo Boston. And then we all know Mr. Danny Johnson. He's also like an MVP who just travels the country and hits everything. Gentlemen, how you doing?
How are you doing, guys?
All right. Fantastic.
Yeah. Joe, right before we pressed record, before Danny popped on, he was just saying how, like, all week, it's funny, man. We had such an awesome full day, the three of us. And with Nikki, I'm just saying, in spots. Nikki as well. But we were just, it was such an awesome day, and we got so much done before lunchtime, which was insane, that, like, all week, it's just been like, it's like a good week.
You know what I mean? That's what I was feeling, yeah.
Yeah. I had put together, well, first, let me just back up. This whole Delta Bravo Boston swap meet thing, I did not put together whatsoever. I wanted to come up to, there was no time or anything like that, but there was a plan, wasn't even set in action, that I wanted to come up to Boston and hit spots. So I had reached out to Danny because Danny was moving to, you know, close to Boston. And then he was like, oh, well, Fred, I call him the Delta Bravo logo guy.
Unbelievable work.
Unbelievable. So Vector Sector, but he said that Fred was putting something together. So I hit up Fred and I'm like, what's going on? And he let me know. And then I think I was pretty much the one that threw the date out there. And then we all kind of just, it worked. So here I am in a Brooklyn guy invading the Delta Bravo Boston chapter. And, I had put together, like, you know, pretty much a rather large list of things that I wanted to see and hit. And we hit every single thing that I wanted to hit by lunch. I didn't think I was going to get all that done over the entire weekend.
Yeah, I didn't think that was going to happen, man. I've hit a lot of cities, a lot of locations all over the country, but never anything as comprehensive as Boston with you fellas. Joe, you just took us around to like every neighborhood we wanted to see with no GPS. And not only did we hit every location that was on our list, you schooled us on the
neighborhood. Yeah, it was so good.
Architecture and the landscapes and just everything about it was impeccable.
Yeah, you're welcome. I had a great day. Like I actually enjoyed it. I just said to Jimmy, before you came on, Danny, I didn't take one picture except for the two of you standing there at the bandana. And that was it. I get a lot of enjoyment out of that because I know how, like, into it you guys are. You guys just love it. Just travel around. Jimmy driving all the way across the country. I'm like, you know what I mean? So
round two coming up soon.
Yeah. And my knowledge of the city, I said, you know, I could get these guys around easy, you know, because I either worked or driven through every neighborhood, like 50 times, 100 times.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, it was good. I was baffled because there was that one shot, and I know it's a deep cut for a lot of people, but Danny knows it. It's from a band called Blood for Blood, who the majority of them grew up in Charlestown. And the album cover for their album Serenity, I just knew it was somewhere in Boston, probably Charlestown, and it's just a building. And all those buildings basically look basically the same. Mm-hmm. And I shot it over to Joe. He's like, it's going to take a little bit of work. Next thing you know, he's like legitimately driving around there physically, right? And you freaking find the damn thing, and he says, "Hey, I got it." I'm like, "Yo, this guy is doing so much work beforehand for us. It's ridiculous. Preparation, man. Awesome. So good."
Yeah, you know, it's and ironically, is the athletic field across the street. I probably parked in front of that building half a dozen times in the course of my two boys playing lacrosse at that field. You know. So, and you know, things like that happen a lot. I don't know what you guys, like, you'll take a picture of something. Then all of a sudden you'll see something and go, like, could be a year later. And you say, I have that exact angle.
Yeah.
Like, I think you said it, Danny. You did something recently where you said, you took a picture of something and then you saw a picture. Like, I have those doors to a church or something.
Yeah.
It happens a lot like that.
Yeah. That was great, man. I loved hearing your stories about the neighborhoods that you grew up in and your family history, in addition to what we were there to explore. I had a blast with you guys, man. I can't wait to do it again.
Saturdays I'm generally available. I know you guys work, so.
I'll make it. So obviously, I'll move. I'll make sure that, because every fourth Saturday I work. It's like a rotating shift. It's not even mandatory. It's like, if you want the overtime, take it. So 99% of the time I just do.
Take the OT.
Yeah, why not? I take it whenever I possibly can. I get a lot of it, which I'm grateful for. But yeah, I'll wind up making, you know, I started texting you guys yesterday. It was like maybe like sometime in like May or something like that, where we know it's going to be like nice weather. And Joe, so Danny doesn't have to suffer the cold. <You know? laughs>
I can't take it, man.
I thought he was planning on doing some shoveling, some snow.
You know? Right?
And I have a hoodie on, and I'm looking at him saying, "Why are you so cold?"
Yeah. At the Bear Dens, when we were, we're going to the Bear Dens to hit the – I'm just saying this. I know you guys know what we're talking about, but the people might not. But we find the what is it called, the Old Franklin Zoo, right?
Yeah, there's an actual zoo on the other side, but this is the old section where the bears were kept, and it's called the Bear Dens. Yeah,
right. So the Bear Dens is where, if whoever's listening and watching, if you've ever seen the movie Mystic River, that's where they find Emmy Rossum, you know, Sean Penn's daughter who's dead, and they have her, like, it's almost like a pit. And that was like an old fountain or like
pool
for bears. And all of that, which amazingly is basically still intact, like with the cages and all, which is, I love when stuff is like that, that they don't destroy it and put a Starbucks there. And it's just like, we could just walk around. And of course I had to take pieces of the frigging thing because I'm ridiculous with my dumb collections of gravel and rocks. But so when we were there, it was actually, when we were walking up towards there, it was actually like one of the nicest parts of the day, because it was sunny and we weren't really, there was no real wind. Mm-hmm. And he's just like, "Yo, it's fucking ridiculous. It's fucking cold." It was fucking funny though, breaking chops.
Oh,
yeah. So I want
my fucking lips turned blue. Dude, it's fucking crazy.
It's fucking funny, man. So definitely when it happens again, well, at least when I come up there and try to meet up with whoever wants to come and meet up, it'll definitely be like a nice warm day. You know, when you wake up and it's 60 degrees and, you know, in the middle of the day, it's like 75. That's like fucking beautiful.
Mm-hmm. I love exploring this time of year, though, because there's no foliage. So nothing.
True.
The branches are bare and everything's visible.
Yeah.
I was thinking of that. I was looking for something, Johnny Depp scene here in Salty, did up on G Street, and I was looking for it, and I found the picture of it, and it was taken, I think, in like the late spring. So there was a big tree branch blocking the doorway, but if you go by now, no leaves or anything like that.
Yeah.
So, as Danny's saying, like, this is the best time of year to get those shots in.
Yeah, so,
it is. See, but here, the one thing I noticed, well, now, I didn't even really notice it because I was just so in the moment when we were there. I'm thinking back now, scaffolding didn't even get an hour away.
Nope.
There was no scaffolding. Here in New York, every other spot that I wanted is fucking scaffolding, man. It's the worst.
Mm-hmm.
The worst.
I was reading recently about the scaffold, and hold to topic for a second, is that there was no real rules about how long you can leave them up, too. There was some
Right.
building in lower Manhattan that they finally got them to take it down after like 30 years or something insane. And I was like, what?
Crazy. Yeah. 'Cause I know that in the building that I work in soon, it's called Local Law 11, which is basically where the city comes and they fine-tooth comb the entire facade, like so that there's no brick damage and there's no hazardous, something has possibly falling down. And I know that the owners of my building, they pay for that scaffolding. And it's like an X amount of money for whatever, because you can get fancy scaffolding like crazy. Because I work right next to, it's a building called the Yale Club, and it's associated with Yale, and it's like all alumni. It's super friggin' bougie, but they had like $500,000 initial scaffolding, and it's like 30 grand a month to keep it. It's like
Wow.
this real fancy craziness. We're not getting that, but we're getting like scaffolding, which costs money. And it's a couple of $1,000s, if not more, a month, plus like 50 grand to put it up and whatever. So it's crazy that people would even have that up there, because to my knowledge, you have to pay for that shit. And I know that there's going to be scaffolding around my building, which nothing was filmed there anyway, which is whatever. But that's going to be up for about 8 to 10 months to do this whole thing. So, but yeah, I've seen buildings in Manhattan. It's like years and years and years. I'm like, I would hit it. Like I would go like 5 years ago and go, I'm like, you know what? There's no way I can do this because the scaffolding is literally covering everything that I have to line up. I'll go back 5 years later, it's still there. Like, what the fuck,
Yes,
man?
it is. I think I read it actually in the New York Times. There's real no set rules of how long.
Right.
You know what I mean? There's no like, okay, here's your application. You have until like, 6 months.
Right.
It's just endless. But
Nope.
the scaffolding stuff, as you get on that topic, is to take a picture. Like the automobiles, you can kind of,
Yeah.
get around because your shot might through the automobile. That makes
Yeah.
sense to people listening. Scaffolding stuff.
Yeah, that what that you said that that's perfect, because when I put together the one, I don't remember which street it is because I'm not from Boston, so it's not sticking yet. But the one where from Black Mass, where the guy in the brown car shot
Oh
Manhattan,
yeah, E and
that
Fifth. Yeah.
yeah, Ian Fifth, that's right. And you know what? I asked y'all, I'm like, I don't remember where this was. I zoom in, he's like, the address is on the building. I'm like, oh, I'm an idiot. So I'm like, oh shit. But yeah, so that there was literally like a mini SUV right underneath. Like you don't see the truck at all. So that one
Wow.
worked out perfect. You don't see that truck at all. So it's nice when that happens.
I
But
watched Black Mass last night, man. Those shots that we got are incredible, man.
right? I was surprised, honestly. I didn't think I was gonna get that one where the city, the skyline is behind him, and it's almost like shot from the ground, and
Yeah.
he's giant, and the city. I didn't think I was gonna get that, and it
Yeah.
was. I love when it happens. When I must have took like 30 of those pictures because I just wasn't. There's a little bit off here and there, so I took like 30 of them. I upload all of them with the screenshot. I take the screenshot and I copy it, whatever. The next one right on my photo, on my Photoshop, it's the one, and I place it on there and it almost lined up exact. I'm like, holy
Yeah, I love
shit.
that. That
What
was
is
great.
this?
I knew the location,
Yeah.
and I think it was called New Street.
Right.
And so I parked there, and then you guys moved maybe like a half a block down, walked
Yeah,
down,
it
and
was
then that
the
was then,
next corner over.
yeah, Border and New or something like that. But it
Yeah.
was like I knew with the low. I knew. I said I always knew that that's where it had to be taken, because of my
It,
I'm so familiar with the area.
yeah, there was one particular building with like a silver dome with like triangular top that was like my focal point. And I purposefully, when I selected everything on Photoshop, I kind of halfway that one so that you can see. You have to look close because it's masked so good. Not even just saying that about myself.
No, yeah. Sometimes they just come out perfect.
But so I kind of cut it off in half, so I lined that part up perfectly, and then everything else just fell in line. Like,
Yeah.
this is fucking
The
cool.
best is when you go to blend a picture and you just drop a photo in a frame and it's just
It's
there or
right
almost
there.
there.
Yeah.
Yes.
The
Sport.
great thing of
Sometimes
the
it
great
doesn't work.
the
I
great thing
know.
about that shot, I think it was a promotion. too.
Yes.
Like, you know, it wasn't like from the movie or right. anything. It was like a promotional shot. And sometimes, you know, those promotional shots are all like fabricated.
Sure.
That
yeah.
one.
Yeah. It was like a poster. It was like an alternate poster too.
Yeah. Because they did a lot of scenes down the street. So they probably just drove up there to the waterfront and said, let's just, you walk up the street with that shotgun, you know?
Yeah. Fucking so good, man. Yeah. There was
two places we missed was you wanted was the florist.
The florist from the town. Oh, that's true. And you know
then,
what, though?
And then more the other one.
More than 51, because I forgot to. No. Yeah, 51. I did include the town. Go ahead. Sorry.
No. It's okay. It was that one. And then up on the Linway, that like open lot. Remember where he was shooting the guy and all of that?
Yes.
I said the condo buildings behind him.
Yes.
We just kind of ran out of time.
It's fun.
You know, with lunch coming, you know.
Yeah, I was shocked that we even – actually, I'm not even shocked. I was good with what we got and then some. You know what I mean? I was
shocked. When I saw the list, like, that was an unrealistic expectation. If you and I had gone there, it would have taken so much longer.
All weekend, if not more.
No, yeah. that'd be like me going
to it was boom, boom,
Brooklyn,
boom.
You know?
Yeah.
It's the same concept of me going to Brooklyn, you know? It's like I'd be stopping, looking at the GPS, what's that address?
And yeah.
I just knew where they were. So
yeah.
It wasn't like,
it was fun. I'm like, yeah, this is it. I'm like, this is the Blood for Blood album cover. This is crazy. Like, it's just, it was so perfectly done, man. It's like, I'm not going to say.
But when we pulled up and I stopped and I goes, well, this is it. Like nonchalant. Jimmy's looking out the window to his right going, what? That's it?
Like, oh shit. Cause there was like an old, like some sort of a stack, like a tower or something that was behind that building. That was like
chimney or something.
To all the other ones. I was like, fuck. That was one of the first ones that we got that day.
Yeah.
One of.
Because it was close. It was close to your hotel. So let's loop through there, come around the corner, get the nuns, and then we'll head this way or that way.
We'll get the nuns.
Yeah.
Yeah, buddy. Yeah, so good. I was watching Good Will Hunting last night.
I watched it two nights ago.
Oh, that's next time. Well, even like I did that one of him reaching into the mailbox, Robin Williams, and I just did it off of memory, you know what I mean? So I took like maybe four shots, a little bit of an angle, two straight up, and then, you know, the opposite angle. And I found that that basically dropped right in place too. I'm like, that's awesome. I did that blind, you know? So
my wife's cousin owned Dell Street Cabin, and they had just bought it literally within a month. And then they came in and said, we want to use the tavern for the movie. And they were like, you know, it's been like a boom for them since. And at that point, way back when it was filmed, my wife and I got invited to the cast party. And I only knew Robin Williams. I didn't even know Matt Damon. Ben, they were there, but I got Matt Damon's autograph. And of course, everybody, Robin Williams. So we all want pictures of him, and I got a nice picture with him.
Wow. Yeah, I saw that. You recently posted that, or I saw it was
came somewhere. From. Yeah. But my point is, if you come back, maybe I can talk to her and, you know, before they open, if there's any shots in the inside.
Ah, that would be fucking incredible.
Pitches,
you know, got to get inside that school.
I don't know where that is, because that's definitely not MIT. I read something way back. I was looking at that kind of – I
Harvard? Googled
the crap out of that, and I couldn't figure – it looks more like a high school because of all those lockers. I just don't see a college having –
okay, right.
In a row. That's just my theory on it, but I could be wrong.
Well, Jimmy, shout out to Jimmy Granera, too. We met up with him to have lunch, as well as Tim and Fred. So he had hit the outside of where Robin Williams worked, which was it Bunker Hill
High School? Bunker Hill, yeah. Yeah, we drove right by it.
I know. I remember you said, and I was like, that's cool. Like that's for, like, next time. Like, I'll have a whole chunk of because I knew how much we were doing already, and I didn't want to add like eight more things. You know what I mean? Like off the back, because I wasn't prepared. I didn't have my right screenshots yet. You know, for Good Will Hunting.
Yeah.
But that's definitely bucket list next time. But maybe, I mean, I don't know. Except for like Robin Williams' office and whatnot, I don't know how much. I'll rewatch it and just like to see if there's any other interior shots in there that maybe. I don't know. Maybe we can get in there. I don't
Will's
know. Will's house? Yeah, you know where Will's house is.
Yeah.
Right?
that was right around the corner from Robin Williams's. It's like actually behind it. Like, so it all nice. We had to do, but if you walked about 30 yards, you would have been where Will got picked up and dropped off.
Really?
All the time. It's for the whole movie.
Next time. Sure.
But it was just like it was just a real shitty old apartment. And then, of course, like everything else around here in South Boston, it got sold and got it out, and it's a condo now. I guess you could like knock on the door, but it's not gonna look anything like what was
right.
There's one shot I see all the time, and it's Ben Affleck looking through the window in like this. Yeah. Yeah. I said that would be a cool shot to take from the inside looking out, you know. I keep looking to see if it's up for sale and there's any open houses.
There you go. Pulling Danny Johnson like he did at the bar.
It doesn't look enough, you know.
Hey, listen, if that's what makes you be able to get in and get the shot, then why not, man? Yep. Yep. Plus you're just seeing the inside of the whole place anyway, and you get some shots, it's like a bonus.
Yeah. What I love about exploring cities like this is the second time around, I'll just be driving around and I'll notice locations that we hit the first time, you know, unexpectedly. And it's great. Like Jimmy, when we went to Lowell, I had been there a few weeks before hitting Jack Kerouac location. So we were driving around. I noticed, oh, there's the bar Jack Kerouac used to hang out with. There's Jack Kerouac's school. Without planning anything, it's just all there. And you, for the second time around, it just comes to life.
Yeah, man.
Excited to go back to Boston. In fact, I plan on being there every weekend. And this production for me was it was great.
So I didn't hit every single Boston spot that you were going to hit, Danny.
Not even close.
Okay, I didn't think so. I didn't think so. But yeah, even like the interior of the 99 Bottles video, that bar, like when we went in there, that was awesome. You were like, I don't know. Joe was like, I don't know how good they, you know, we're going to be received. You know what I mean? We walked in there. Sure. It was super cool. We were just like,
they didn't even care we were there.
No.
The Irish pub in Quincy.
Yes. Quincy. Which, no note taken. He said it. I was like, I guess that's how Bostonians say Quincy. I'm not going to say it because I'll get yelled at.
Knock on it.
Yeah, I'm so glad we hit that spot, man. That was at the top of my list. I've been wanting to go
for a while. I was disappointed, Danny, that they tore the exterior shot, the building there.
Right.
They tore that down. That's too bad.
Yeah. But, you know, like, that's also part of, I guess, in a way, of what we do also. Once it goes, when you explain, it's like, you know, this look how, you know, it's changed, but this is where it used to be. Like, I did that with, what was it, 799 East whatever street?
Oh, 79 East 3rd, yeah.
Yeah, that's the spot where Bulge had killed those three people and they were buried in the basement. I mean, I went online, I tried to find a straight-on shot of that house. I found one, and I basically just put it there. I lined up the
siding. Came out great, too. Came out really good, too.
I lined up the siding for each building on each side of it so you could see. Mm-hmm. But it just looks weird because it just looks like a little small thing on top of a big one. But that's exactly where it was, and that's what it was. And this is the spot. So there's nothing I could do about that. There's nothing really to line up. But I was able to line up the siding on the buildings on each side.
When you find something like that that's gone, you know what's still there? The road's still there. The curbs are usually there. The houses on the other sides are there. Yeah. So it's still light poles are still there.
Yeah.
Right. That one, the slain out exterior.
Mm-hmm.
That light bulb is exactly the same. That's there. So you could go there.
Yeah.
Take a picture of the angle. And do kind of like what Jimmy just did with 799.
The hunt is on. Sure. I mean, what's crazy to me is like a block away from there, I found a building that had the same exact lights, the same windows, the same curb, the same telephone pole, but it was the wrong block.
Yeah.
Block up. I was convinced I had found it. Like I found something everybody thought was gone and I was wrong.
Well, I misled you with the departed shots. I was on the wrong side of Congress Street.
Mm-hmm.
That was the one time we had to pull the GPS out.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, the little alleyway where Danny's laying on the floor.
It all looked exactly alike, though.
It did. But you know what I thought came out awesome was that Eddie Connors hit in the phone booth.
Yeah, that was good, too.
Man,
Yo, I was like, because, and then I was like, I had to ask you again. I'm like, I'm sorry, I'm being annoying, but I deleted because I had already mashed it and put it together. But I deleted all the, all the other shots I took. I took like 15 shots, little by little. And since I deleted it and it was mashed over, I forgot what the name of the store across the street was, and it was called Floor Decor. But I knew we were at a 7-Eleven, which used to be the old gas station. But
Sunoco Station was Sunoco back
was
then.
it?
Yeah.
Okay, so, but then remember Danny, when we were there, we're like, there's a light pole, which most likely is still there, because they're not going to start rerouting all kinds of electrical,
Not,
stuff like that.
oh.
I mean, the actual pole itself is probably new, but where it's running is the same. So that line, if you look at that mesh, that light pole is dead on exact with the store. The old store front is lined up with the new one, and it's just like, there it is, like
Nice
crazy. And
details,
I
man.
black and whited it on purpose because the photo was, but every once in a while I do that. But yeah, it came out awesome. That was a bucket list thing for me. And I was looking before I even asked you where that was, because I knew it was on Morrissey Boulevard, right?
Boulevard, yeah.
Yeah. And but then I'm doing like a screenshot, a street view, and I'm like, this is a big boulevard, and then it says an old gas station. I don't know. And then I'm typing like gas stations, Morrissey Boulevard, and like 19 things come up. I'm like, I don't know what the other side looks like because the source picture is so dark and it's blood. So I don't know. And you're like, oh yeah, I know exactly where that is. I'm like,
Yeah,
really?
you could have saved an hour's worth of time and just
Oh,
asked
there I am with like bad reception in the basement of my job with my finger trying to turn it. It's like, ah, this ain't working. Yeah, bad
That
reception.
was a good one though, because a lot of people don't, there's not a lot of information about the exact spot of that, like where that.
Right. I just know
It's not
how.
news stories or anything,
No, I was researching it, and the most I came up with was, yes, it's Morrissey Boulevard, and that Eddie Connors went outside of a gas station. That's all I knew. There was no cross section, there was no nothing. So
They set him up, told him it was a safe phone to call from,
yes.
and he drove there to make the safe call, and they were waiting there with shotguns or whatever it was.
Yeah.
They
I mean,
really blasted him.
yeah, bad.
Yeah.
Crazy thing. Because
One of my favorite spots of the whole day was that abandoned zoo. And it wasn't until afterwards, in hindsight, Joe, when I saw your mashups of the bears, I
Awesome.
brought that to life.
Yeah, didn't it? I
I
don't
can't believe
really
what you
like.
did with those bears,
I don't
man.
know how many times I looked at those pictures myself, because I was like, again, like I'm just sitting there in awe of them, saying, like, thinking of those bears that were there. And I think I read somewhere that about the grizzly bears, they just went to Yellowstone Park in 1912 and captured them, had
Wow.
them back there and threw them in a cage. Stuff like that's not going to happen today,
No.
but that's just back then. They didn't have any value for animals in the sense of caring for them. They just dragged them back in a train or something back there and plopped them in there.
And then I love the North End. There's just something about that neighborhood that just
Yeah, it is great.
it's so awesome to me. I love how the streets are narrow and the buildings are tall, and it's just this kind of like maze of windy roads that just, oh man, it
It
was
has
driving through there and exploring.
back in like the mid 90s, I would always go to Brookline, but I never, this is obviously way before the internet. There was no concept of Delta Bravo or anything like that, but I never really ventured into Boston my whole life. Even like walking, getting those shots of like where Slane was killed
At Fenway.
town, like right next to Fenway, and all these things, and driving around, Nikki was saying it too. It has character, man. Like, I know that it's slowly being gentrified like everywhere else, but not like New York City. Like New York City, they're ripping down, 150-year-old buildings that aren't landmarked and putting up these prefabricated glass, nonsense. You know what I mean? But there's so much of Boston that when we're driving around, it was like, I love it. It's such a.
There's still a lot. There's still a lot left, but they really have torn down a lot, though. Like
Sure.
they,
I'm
I keep saying,
sure.
they put up these little boxes.
Yeah.
They're taken away from the character of the neighborhoods here, like the Triple Echo look, and all of that.
I mean,
It's
go modern and whatever. It's just, it's cheap. I think it's cheap.
Yeah, but the North End to me just reminded me of like the night. It was easy to go back into the old time and just see like kind of what it felt like in the 19th century. I mean, it still has that kind of old time vibe to it.
That's Beacon Hill. Beacon Hill has all kinds of laws in place where you can't, you can't even, a lot of the sidewalks up there are brick still. And you'll be like thrown in jail if you remove one brick, like to do any work. You have to go through all of the neighborhood associations, and it's like a lot of work.
I love that.
Yeah,
so that's good. I'm glad
that
they're preserving it. It was awesome. The first spot that we hit on Sunday morning was before we met up with you, Danny. Me and Nikki. I know it's probably a tourist destination or whatever, but for me, whatever. I was never there. But we went to the Paul Revere house.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the first things I thought of was you, Danny, because I know how you like, you know, the old, like we were all looking like, look at that building right there. Like this, it's like that whole little area, it's all still cobblestone streets. Mm-hmm. And I just stood there and there was nobody there. There was like one or two people that walked past. And I was just like, this place is incredible, man. I took a few shots I found like one of the oldest pictures I can of the Paul Revere house, and I put it together. I think the photo was from like 1890 or 1898 or something like that.
Oh, it looks great, man.
Yeah, the building to the right of Paul Revere.
The taller one?
Yeah, and it says something like Mariners something on it. I can't remember. I sat there and had lunch. There was some picnic benches at one time in the middle there, and I just get down to the north end from work and, you know, grab a sandwich and sit there. And it's some sort of Mariners, like, hotel, for a lack of a better term, back in the day, like, you know.
Yeah,
all those buildings are incredible.
Yeah, man. And the only thing, well, let's go back to scaffolding real quick, the only thing, but it wound up working out fine, was when we went to the Angiulo spot where he's in the casket going into the church.
St. Leonard's.
Yep. St. Leonard's. And I was like, I first looked, I was like, I don't know, but it came out as good as it can, because all I literally had to do was line up Jesus on the cross.
Yeah.
Because it's all I really had to do. And then I just, boom. And it sits right there. But that was the only scaffolding. But that was like clear glass scaffolding. The glare is a little bit funky. There was a couple of shots, like the Equalizer shot where Denzel was running across the street. Like there was a huge glare there, but I kind of made it work anyway.
I thought it came out great.
Yeah, yeah. And you even wrote, you're like, nothing's changed. Nothing has changed on that corner, on that side, which is beautiful.
Oh.
It's a shame when they do things like that, though. Like that add-on just doesn't look as good as it did before they put that on at that church. That church was just a very special place, especially for me. I felt like some kind of special energy walking in.
Yeah.
Looking at that add-on, it felt too
high. It was a glass. It was, I don't know, was it to protect it? It was just like a glass.
Yeah, I'm not sure why they did that. I don't know. Maybe like just coming and going, not getting wet from the rain. I'm not sure.
Yeah, I don't know. It was weird, but yeah, I made it work. And other stuff that we like, it was like bonus shots, like between the Robin Williams one in front of his house. And then there was, you know, like his social, you know, Angiulo's social club, and then Angiulo's house. And then there was a couple that were just like, hey, you know, just get it, you know, just take a few pictures and see, you know, if something works out. And everything did, except for the two things that I messed up my angle, which I don't even care about because I did so much anyway. Yeah. It's fine. Usually I'd be like, damn it. Like, you know, but like, I think I got like, it was like 11 Mystic River mashes alone. So so 11 out of 12, that's really not bad. Especially in the spots where we were, where there's so many buildings and so much stuff to line up. It worked out fucking beautiful.
I think the Leonard Nimoy one was like kind of an add-on, you know?
Yes.
Danny was talking about it, and I started laughing, and I said, I just drove by here the other day. When I went up for the recon of the beer dance, I was with a buddy of mine. We kind of took the long road home, and I said, oh, Leonard Nimoy's dad had a barbershop over there. I might come back at some point. I didn't even, you know what I mean? And then Danny said, that jaw is you. We're going.
Yeah, let's do it.
But that was kind of an add-on, you know?
And what I love about that is when we rolled up, and we're like, yo, can we snap a pic? And the owner was like, Nimoy? Like, he just knew what we were talking about, what we were there for.
Yeah.
I love it.
The guy was on the ladder, and he was like, yeah, it's like a lot of times if you just ask and just approach somebody, like, in a friendly way, and you let them know what we're doing.
Yeah.
So, you know, we showed them. They're like, wow, like, that's dope, blah, blah, blah. So whenever you put that together, what was the name of that place?
It's coming soon.
Yeah. It's and you just tag them and they'll be like, oh shit, like that's dope.
Here something or other, I forget the name.
Yes. I don't remember. I'm sure we could find out the names. Yeah. Google Street View and there.
Yeah. Hey, it's in the pic. Their sign's right in the pic.
Yeah, they were putting up a brand new sign.
I got a lot of work to do.
It's fine. But you know what's funny? Because Danny, you know, obviously he put the top and bottom of us three in the ball.
That was good.
Video. Awesome lineup, man, with that
right
light.
And then we give Nikki props for that photo credit for taking that one.
We didn't have that shot until you opened up your jacket and went down, and that's when the light showed. So all the other shots, you can't see that light, and that light was the focal point of that mashup.
See, I was just being stupid. I'm like, hey,
off. Yeah.
See that? You got to act silly sometimes.
Yeah, man.
And then, shit, there was something else I was going to say. And then, oh, Jesus. And then the next morning, we're in Lowell, Joe. And then I go to the crack house. I go to the crack house where Christian Bale is always jumping out of the second floor window. And I get there earlier before Danny does. And I see there's a couple of people that look like they could have been in the movie at that point.
They might have been extras.
They probably might have been. They
probably were. So, I don't remember.
So I go and me and Nikki pull up and I see this one guy and he's working on his truck outside and he looks, and he's giving us this look as we're slowly going by. And I was like, well, this is going to be interesting. And he says, he looks like he's about to kill you. I'm like, ah, all right, don't worry about it. So we're sitting there for a minute and I'm getting myself prepared. I was waiting for you, Danny. And I was like, you know what? I want to break the ice because maybe if there was two, I don't know what's up with this guy. And if Danny comes, I don't know if that's going to change the dynamic. You know, I don't know what we're walking into here.
Yeah.
So I'm like, you know what? I was like, Nikki, you going to come out? She's like, no, I'm good right here. I'm like, you stay here, lock your door. She's like, I'm not locking my doors, but I'm good. I'm like, all right, cool. So I get out and he's working on his truck. I'm like, what's up, man? He's like, hey, how are you? And he's kind of a little bit, I was like, I always introduce myself. How you doing? I'm Jimmy. He's like, his name was Moses. And he said his name was Moses Perez. I'm like, all right. So shake his hand. I was like, I have a silly, like kind of like a stupid question. He's like, what's up? I was like, can I go in the backyard and start taking pictures? So he's like, I was like, you know, cause you know, and I showed him the picture. I was like, you know, the fight. He's like, oh yeah. Everybody said, yeah, go right ahead, man. Go right ahead. And then next thing you know, like his girlfriend or something comes out and she says, I don't know if it's bullshit or not, but I'm showing him the picture of Dickie Eklund in the garbage in the back. And he's looking and he looks at her and goes, look, it's your cousin. And then she supposedly was like, yeah, you know, Dickie Eklund is her cousin somehow. And I'm like, really? Okay, that's cool. So I go in the back and I take the pictures and then I come back out and she's on the phone with somebody. Oh yeah, I swear to God, I was told, yeah, you can ask somebody. Yeah, I'm related to him. Like there was a whole thing started happening with this movie and this girl with Dickie Eklund as being her cousin. And it was so crazy, but they were, you know, they were super cool with, like, yeah, go right ahead. I was about to, but I hesitated. See, but now, like, when I hesitate, I kick myself in the ass a little bit. I was going to ask, like, what apartment they lived in, because if they lived in the same one, I'm going in there.
Going in there, yeah. Okay.
And I'm going to go in there, and I'm going to get a shot of freaking Christian Bale about to jump out the window.
Sitting on the couch with the crackheads. When I showed up there, they were super receptive. It was like they were happy I was there.
Yeah.
What the fuck? This is fucking Twilight Zone.
Mm-hmm. The trash was still there.
The trash was still there. And then I take all my shots and then Danny is like, you know, I was like, yeah, we're gonna go in the back because he hadn't seen it yet. So they're like, yeah, go right ahead. So he's like, hold on. And there he is. He starts laying in the trash. They're like, let me line up this brick to where you are. And awesome. Yeah. I'm gonna lay in the trash.
Too funny. But
the trash was still there. It was crazy. Yeah,
we made that day, man. They were so happy to meet us.
Oh, dude. They were like, oh, are you on TikTok? I'm like, I'm not on TikTok. I'm on Instagram. So they're like, oh, okay. So they followed the mission statements and the Bravo thing, the Delta Bravo page. So like they started following. And I told them once I put them up, you know what? Now I completely forgot. She started following me, you know, the Delta Bravo page. So I'll go back. I'll see.
Sweet.
where she is, I'll tag her. I'll make their whole day with Danny in the trash.
I want to give a shout out to Fred for putting together the meetup, because
100%.
I've been working closely with Fred for years, but I'd never met him in person, and it was a pleasure to meet him and everybody else, Tim and Jimmy, and it was just it was great to get together. That was the icing on the cake to top off the day.
Yeah, it was good. Yeah,
I had a fucking blast.
Yeah, it was awesome.
I had met Fred and Tim, a couple of times over the years. I had never met Jimmy, but they're just like great guys. I feel like. Like driving around with you guys all day, I felt like we had known each other from the neighborhood or something.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? There was that feel. Like, I guess it's the neighborhoods we grew up in that, like, very similar, like, the way we treat people and talk to people.
Sure.
You know, so, but it was great. Yeah. And it's same with those guys coming in. We're just like, hey, what's up? Like,
yeah.
You met them 17 times, you know?
Yeah. I feel like when you came, which, again, thank you for being basically like the friggin' chauffeur. You know, you pick me up at 7:30 in the morning at the thing. And as soon as I walk out with Nikki, I walk out of the hotel and he's like, hey, what's up? I felt like I knew you already. What's up, Joe? Blah, blah, blah. And then 2 minutes later, he is Danny and he jumps in. And everything's like, so where are we going? Coffee first.
You just stole my line. I said, I knew it was going to be a good day when Jimmy said, I said, we're going to do this. Jimmy says, well, we got to get coffee first.
Yeah. I don't care what time. As long as we stop first and get coffee, I don't care.
We're good.
Coffee's a must. 100%. But yeah, and it was just, I think it's also like that whole like-mindedness, because we have something in common, all of us, is hitting spots and just doing this whole thing, because we're all active, as far as doing these things. And me and you, Joe, we started going back and forth more than ever when I send me your stuff and I'll see what's, next thing you know, you're out literally reconning these places in person to make it a smoother day. And it just worked out perfect, man.
You know, what was great is that I always wanted to go. I worked maybe four blocks down the street for 5 years from the zoo. And I always wanted to go up to those beer dens and never went. So this kind of like made me go. It was just like a great day. Like, and I made two trips, like one to make sure I knew where I was going.
Yeah.
The second one with you guys, and like to get those bear pitches and see you guys get all those other mashups.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like, and be part of it. Like, you know what I mean? I feel like I was part of the mashup. You know what I mean?
You 100% were. You absolutely were. Yeah. And I know that Danny appreciates this too, because I know how his mind is when it comes to this whole Delta Bravo thing. It's like the mash at the end is like the end result the whole journey and the planning and the times that we had that we can't post on the picture. You know what I mean? Like these things that we're talking about, like, people don't know all the stuff behind the scenes of Danny being frozen, my hands being frozen, this, that,
laughing.
Yeah, laughing about it and all these things. How old, I have to piss like a racehorse because I'm drinking too much coffee, but then I pee, but then we need more coffee anyway.
Yeah, exactly.
All these stupid things. Like, and it comes with whatever, mission you go on with anybody, who's complaining, who's not complaining. This happens. I have a flat tire. I'm over here. It's too hot out. Like, all these things. The diner that we might stop and eat at, that we would never be at unless we weren't doing these things. That's happened with me and Nikki 9,000 times. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, let's go to Connecticut because I Spit on Your Grave from 1972 was filmed there. Next thing you know, we're hitting like 9 movie spots and going to dinner at like a really cool restaurant. Like, all those things you can't capture in a mash at the end. So we met up at, what was the name of the place? Esposito's?
Ernesto's. Over in Somerville.
Yes.
And it's a satellite pizza place from the original in the North End.
Oh, okay. So like, once we got in there, it's like I felt like I knew Fred and Tim and Jimmy. You know what I mean? Because, Jimmy, I felt like I was following a lot in Jimmy Granara's footsteps, because he did Shutter Island, which we did the next day, which was incredible. Yeah, touch on that. He did the Bad Dens at Mystic River. He told me, I guess in between about a month ago and when we went, that whenever he was there, that whole pool area, he was like, it was just overgrown with brush and it was so much more foliage and it was like more trash. I guess the city or whatever went in there and cleaned it up, because I stepped in there to get underneath shots of Kevin Bacon looking down, you know. So I was able to go in there, which was just super cool and a bonus. And that one, I don't know if you know which one I'm talking about. I'm in there. And
I missed you taking that picture. When I saw the mashup, I started cracking up. I said, I must have been over the other side.
You were.
As I wish I got a picture of you laying in there. That would have been awesome.
Well, I wasn't laying, but I was crouched down almost on my knees. And I was just trying to get the angle of the, because you only see in the movie, you only see like the edge of the pit. And yep. I took a whole bunch of them, and as I'm going this way, and then I see the screenshot, and there's a tree, and I just, when I put it together, that tree lined up exact with it. I'm like, holy shit. Like, I didn't think, that's another one. I wasn't sure if it was going to even happen.
Yeah, it came out great. That shot came out great.
Yeah, so they cleaned it up. And so it's like, I'm going back and forth with Jimmy about these things. And you know, obviously I always have, you know, me and you guys go back and forth. I'm going back and forth with Fred about certain things, about logos and this and that. And, you know, he doesn't give up the actual thing, but he's like, yeah, we have a small thing coming up and then a big thing coming up as far as, you know, the merch store and stuff like that. He doesn't tell me anything, but he just gives me hints of big things or little things or whatever. And then so once we walked in there, and then Tim as well, it's like, I feel like I knew all you guys already, even though I've only met Danny face-to-face before. But other than that, and plus Danny's been on the podcast, on the Blast Furnace and this podcast before. So there's that whole common denominator of we all just do this very niche.
Well, there's a lot of exploration groups.
Yes.
But the best thing about our team is the camaraderie.
Yeah. It's true. 100%.
I don't think there's any other group that's as big as this, as far as, like, you know, talking all the time and getting together. And
yeah. And it's like the next, you know, like I said, like in like 2 months from now, or whatever, like, well, the Boston round two. And then in the summertime, it's like, next summer, it's like, I'll be in Cali. You know, there's certain things that I need to see in my life, you know, Delta Bravo or not, that I need to go visit and see myself, you know, because after the last road trip that me and Nikki went on, it was like Danny Boy had posted something, commented on Nikki's Facebook page, something. It was something like travel more, because, you know, money always comes back and time doesn't.
Yeah, exactly.
Time is priceless.
So I butchered it, but I'm paraphrasing what it said. And it's the truth, man. Like, that whole last road trip, it was the first time I've ever done anything like that. And if it wasn't for this Delta Bravo thing, I wouldn't have probably done that, or at least not to that capacity. I probably wouldn't have seen the places that I put on my map to see. And just the experience of it all is incredible. And so it's like, I made it like a vow, basically a personal thing, where every year, because once my vacation stuff replenishes at work, you know, I get like 14 days. Next year, I wind up getting 3 weeks of vacation a year. I get 10 sick days. My boss is super cool. So even if I take, you know, all of my vacation days and 3 sick days, it doesn't matter. He'd be like, yeah, don't worry about it. I get paid, you know? So so it's like, every year it's going to be like another section or part of the country, with hoping sometimes it's not going to happen, but everyone is going to be with a stay in Tulsa.
Nice.
If it works out that way, you know what I mean? Like this next coming trip, it will. So, you know, plus my daughter wants to see the outside of his house. So, I'm down. And last time we only stayed one day. So this time I think I'm going to do 2 full days. So I'm not rushing this kid around like crazy. You know, we can enjoy
you get the whole experience of it.
Yeah, we'll go out. We'll go hang out with Danny. You know, we'll go eat lunch or whatever at the Fastway Cafe, that's where Danny Boy took the picture of me in the booth where Tom Petty signed his first ever record deal.
Yeah.
Which that was a bonus. We're sitting there eating friggin' eggs, and he was like, yo, right there. So.
Yeah, I went there a few months ago, and I got there right as they closed. So I had to go inside.
Mm-hmm.
Right around the way is the church, Leon Russell's studio, which is an awesome spot to hit, too.
Yeah. So Tulsa, I mean, there's so many places that I want to see. I mean, like, my initial thing, what I want to do, time permitting, is I'm going to fly one way from New York to LA Or actually New York up to San Francisco, closest to San Francisco. I want to hit Alcatraz first, like day one, day two. And then I'm going to travel down the Pacific Coast Highway or whatever it is. Is that what it's called, Danny?
Yeah. Pacific Coast Highway. Yep,
because California is like Boston to me. Like I'm not familiar. So, but Danny and Ray and friggin' hooked me up with a whole friggin' map out of shit.
I'll be out there, man. There's only so much of this weather I can take. I don't get the most of it, but I feel like I've been hibernating since I came here. I mean,
nice.
Under 40 degrees, I don't want to leave.
I don't blame you.
You better get your shovel out, Danny. Tuesday, snow coming.
Oh, it's coming.
So what I want to do, I want to hit San Francisco, and I want to hit that, go down, and there's a whole bunch in L.A. and stuff like that.
I love it.
I want to meet up with Randy Schanofsky and do the Warner Brothers thing and see the Psycho House and stuff like that is going to just blow my mind. You know what I mean? And then what I want to do, I want to go into Arizona, into New Mexico, then shoot up to Tulsa. And then from there, depending on time, either I'll fly out from there or if time permitting, if I have like 3 or 4 more days, I'm driving my ass back and I'll hit spots on the way back. So it'll be like flying one way and driving my ass from California literally all the way back to the fucking across the country.
That's what's up.
You know what I mean? And then the following year is, I don't know yet, but it might be, I think I need to hit like the whole New Orleans area and like down in there because, you know, New Orleans, maybe like just hit like from fly into like somewhere in, you know, Louisiana somewhere and then just hug the bottom and go through the Carolinas and just do that whole, you know. Yeah.
Yeah, I like a lot of places, but I like New Orleans better.
Yeah.
My favorite city, man. Hauntingly beautiful.
Nice.
Hauntingly beautiful, like the Medfield State Hospital, Insane Asylum. Shutter Island.
That was something.
And Danny was loving that place. The place was incredible. And
I love places like
bad,
that.
And you walk around there and you just know that fucked up shit happened to people there. And
anything that says asylum, bad stuff happens.
Mm-hmm. That place is giant, and it's just like Nikki's walking around. She has like this map of, and each building is labeled like building 28. And it was like, oh, this is where like, what was it like the unkept men facility, like the guys that don't know how to clean themselves, like they're all here. Like this is the one for the women who don't know how to act and are all crazy. Like that's there. This is the medical building where they did testing and weird shit. And then this is the facility where
it's so easy just to imagine people just walking around like zombies because at that time when that place was functional, frontal lobotomies were the cure. Electroshock therapy was what they, you know, what they did to the patients that were there to just
cuckoo's
keep
nest. Occupied. Cuckoo's nest.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Basically, like that sort of thing.
Yeah. Which always, when I always bring it up, whenever someone mentions that movie, it's one of my, for some weird reason, I've been to so many cool spots, especially on that road trip in Boston. There's so many cool spots I never thought I would ever see. But for some weird reason, one of the highlights was when that last road trip, we were in Wichita, Oklahoma, and I actually was able to leave a package of Juicy Fruit on the Chief.
Put the ball in the basket, Chief.
Put the ball in the basket, Chief. I love that movie. So the R.P. McMurphy is awesome. Yeah. So, yeah, for me to be able to do that, it's just like, yeah, I was able to put a package. If you know, you know. Like, if I put a package of Juicy Fruit on Will Sampson's grave. Like,
Medfield was such a weird place because it's like this ritzy town, and then their park is the abandoned insane asylum.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Yeah. So weird.
I went to the one grave I went to, not big on the graves, but the one I went to, I had to go to, it was Belushi's, not the city.
Of course.
And that was, you know, that was...
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was I had to go to that, you know?
Yeah. Well, that's another thing. We found Whitey Bulger's grave.
Yeah, that was in... To backtrack, when you were saying the start of how you want to fly into San Francisco to go to Alcatraz, or you probably know this, he was there. Held there. And somewhere in my notes, I asked a guy that was a historian on Alcatraz what cell he was held in. So if you go there, I'll try to dig out the
number. Oh, hell yeah.
You know.
Because I'll be following in Danny's footsteps because he was there. He hit Escape from Alcatraz.
Yeah.
That's why I love that movie. I remember as a little kid watching that movie. And I love that movie. And that I saw those men, so I'm like, this is incredible.
Every little detail of everything that's in the pictures from the movie matched up. It's all still there.
It's amazing. It's kind of in the theme of the band.
Everything on the walls. It's all
kind of the theme, Danny, of the beer dance. It's amazing. Like, in the middle of like salt water.
Yeah, still intact.
I can't believe that hasn't rotted away.
Can't believe it.
Yeah. And of course, I took dirt and some couple of little rocks from Whitey Bulger's gravesite. Put it right next to my Lizzie Borden grave shit. I have mason jars that are labeled like a psychopath. Yeah. All right.
Oh.
Yeah, people say, yeah, the kid collects gravel and rocks and sticks. I do. I fucking do.
I tried to get you to take the piece of metal. You wouldn't take that.
But I don't, you know why? Because I'm such a friggin' psycho. I don't know exactly where that metal was from.
I know.
So yeah. I can't be like, oh, yeah, it's metal from the bad bends. And, you know, yeah. So I went to the pit area and I took pieces of concrete from the edge of the pit where she was found. So
yeah, the actual shot.
Right. If anyone asks, which nobody comes to my apartment anyway. So it's like, I'm like, yeah, if someone asks, you know, what's this from? Oh, yeah, this is from the pit with it, from the Mystic River, blah, blah, blah. But I just know for me.
We kid, Jimmy. We care.
I know you can. Museum is all care. It's very silly, but very cool.
Yeah.
Very cool. It just ties into this whole thing. And Joe Schellinger from Philly set that all off by sending me the brick from the Rocky pet store. Yeah.
Yeah. He started it off. Joe, I love Joe.
Joe is the greatest. It's one of my favorite gifts I've ever received in my life. I'm like, he sends me a box. And he's like, yeah, this is from a tropical, you know, whatever tropical fish, the place where Rocky met Adrian, where he bought Cuff and Link. I was just like, this is the most badass thing I've ever got. It's a fucking half a brick. Like, but it's not just a half a brick.
That's what's up.
Oh man, yeah. So a couple months round two. I have Boston Strangler shit. I have Goodwill Hunting. I already have folders going here.
There was a building right where you took that Charles Street shot on the other side of the street and just down. So one of his victims was strangled in that building.
Okay,
it was right there where.
I want to also. It was brought up, but it wasn't like on my bucket list at all. But I definitely want to hit the original location for Triple O's Lounge.
Oh yeah, I kept saying we're gonna drive by there. We never made it.
I was not complaining at all about anything. So
I was waiting. I was waiting for the bus one day, and I was just looking at it because it's called Fox and Knight, something like that. Now, all you know, gentrified.
Yeah.
That term again. Got it out, done over, and so I just took some spray-on shots of it, and then I went home and I found a picture of you know, Whitey and Flemmy standing in front, then another picture of the FBI going in to raid it.
Yeah,
but it was quite a place.
Yeah, I'm sure. So what I'm gonna do is last night I watched probably about 3/4 of Goodwill Hunting. I'm gonna throw it on again later. And there's certain shots that I want to put because you even mentioned as you drove by. I remember they got into the scuffle over here.
Yeah, right there.
Yard. Yeah. So I'm watching that. I'm telling Nikki, I'm like, hey, you remember when she said when Joe said this and this? So there's, you know, screenshots that I want to grab from that movie for the trip for sure.
Get some that aren't like, you know, you don't see when you Google.
Oh yeah, that's why I do screenshots. I mean, there's a couple times where there's a couple of times where you'll get the Google shot because it's just a really good shot or whatever it is. But 90% of the times, if it's a movie, like those Mystic River shots, like I'm watching the movie and I'm screenshotting certain things, like that upward shot of Kevin Bacon looking down, like you can't Google that. You know what I mean? That's
yeah.
So
I was going back and forth with Fred a little bit this week on to go back to when we were at the pizza place, we were talking about different, you know, where we had been that day and everything. And I remember we were stopping for the coffee. I said, there's the ice skate rink where they met up.
Yeah.
And then we get now fast forward to we're eating pizza and Fred, that was on his bucket list to get that shot of them all sitting there in the rink.
In the town in the ice skate rink.
Fred says that's not the rink. The interior of that rink is not where they took that shot.
Wow.
In the movie, Ben Affleck's actually walking in the door of that rink.
Uh-huh.
But the interior shots, me and Fred were going back and forth, and I think we finally found the rink. And he's gonna go, I may go with him someday.
Awesome. Go hit that. I want to see that. That's awesome.
But it was like, because the wood behind them, the beams of the wood were like curved and
big archway, it looked like.
Yeah. And I think we finally found the rink. It's on the North Shore. It's like, this is the type of stuff we do, right?
It is. And I love that some people just don't get it, and that's fine. And then some people like us, there's a podcast now related to us nerds talking about, scaffolding is annoying. It's like, but it's awesome.
It is, though. One thing leads to another. Just going to these locations leads to finding cool bridges and cool caves and waterfalls and other things that you just stumble upon unexpectedly along the way.
Yeah.
It just truly is exploring. Yeah.
And we get meetups and look at that. How nice. We're all friends.
Mm-hmm.
We meet up and we meet in person, and it's like, everyone's cool. Let's do it again. There you go.
Yeah.
Very cool, man. Yep. So now, I'm not killing this at all, but before I forget, I need to shout out my sponsors real quick. The nice people that like to sponsor mission statements. I'm going to start off with Kevin Bednarz's spots in Purcellville in Virginia. Great. That dude is a great guy. And, he does a lot of really good shit. But he owns three pubs. It's the Purcellville Eats is the newest one, the Purcellville Pub and the Ashburn Pub. You can follow them all on Instagram and at the Purcellville Pub, Ashburn Pub, and Purcellville Eats. They're all located in and around Purcellville, Virginia. Kevin Bednarz is his name. He's also on Instagram as well. He's a ridiculous artist. I had a bonus episode with a guy named Tom Mitchell on here, who he runs and he created the Still Brave Child Cancer Organization, because he has a heartbreaking story of his daughter succumbing to cancer at like 16, and this whole big thing. And I learned about him through Kevin. And like, I wear like this ring. I always have this ring. It's like there's a whole thing, but check out Still Brave. They don't sponsor it, but I don't care about that at all. But I learned about him through Kevin, and Kevin's a really good dude. Also Main Street Jukebox, follow them on Instagram at Main Street Jukebox, MAINST Jukebox. That's Tom Lefevre, who lives in Stroudsburg, Pennsylvania. He's a Delta Bravo guy. Main Street Jukebox, I think they've been around since 1994. The original store like got set on fire or something like that, or burned down, and he moved right next door or some shit, and he's still going. It's a mom and pop record store where you can buy vinyl and all that shit, which is awesome. So support him. And obviously, the normal, support the Outsider's House. And there's a if you go to the bio on Instagram of this podcast, which is Delta Bravo Mission Statements, you go into the bio, it'll send you to a link tree, and there'll be every single thing related to the Outsider's House and Delta Bravo. Everything from the Delta Bravo Boston page on Facebook everything is there. Every single platform, YouTube, Spotify, iTunes, SoundCloud, all of that. And I think the top one is the Delta Bravo Big Cartel page, where Danny Boy always sells things that he breaks me because I have.
Like, that's why you work the overtime.
That's why I work overtime, so I could buy a new friggin' Irish toothpick. It's crazy. I never in a million years would I think that I would have 10 different variations of Outsiders and House of Pain switchblades. Why do I have? I have like over $1,000 worth of switchblades sitting there. Why? It's insane. Never, but I do it because you know what you do. You're supposed to support your friends. I don't want nothing for free. If you're my friend, I want to buy it from you. That's called supporting, So, but Danny puts out a lot of really cool, and it's like a lot of, like the challenge coins, all this. It's like really cool shit that not a lot of people have.
Quality stuff.
Quality, and 9 out of 10 of them Fred has a hand in all of that, designing all of that stuff and doing proofs and taking all the pictures that go offline. So, you know, we all help each other out in one way or the other. And it's very fucking cool.
Hell yeah, man.
Big time. So is there any spot that you know of that needs to be hit in Boston, either of you, that you want to hit, that you'll wait for me to go and hit with?
I don't know. The top of my head, I don't know.
Well, I don't know. I'll put on the thinking cap, man. We'll make a list and put together a folder and make a plan.
Yeah, sounds good. And in the warmer weather, days are longer as well.
Oh, yeah.
So it doesn't get darker. Okay. So we can head out like around the same time. We do a whole bunch. We stop, we eat for lunch. And then if it's still like nice and light out for the next couple hours or whatever, depending on how we feel, you know, how we feel, if we eat like animals and feel like going to sleep, then so be it. If not, then, you know, then we'll go and hit a couple, two, three more spots.
Two, three. Exactly. I know you like the mob. I know how you are with the mob stuff. So, you know, put your thinking cap on with those.
100%. And on the strength of you, Joe, saying it, I actually went and I bought it's not next on my list, but it's the second. Right now I'm reading Murder Machine, and then I'm going to read the Joe Coffey book, Cop. And then after that, I bought Brutal. I think it's the Kevin Weeks book.
Oh, Kevin Weeks book, yeah.
I bought that. After you were mentioning things to me, I went right on to Amazon. I bought it, so that's on deck too.
And Pat Nee's book is pretty good too, Criminal and an Irish.
I'll buy it because I'm very, very, very familiar with all the whole New York City five families, like all that stuff. I know all that stuff. I learn stuff about it all the time also because it's such an intertangled, crazy thing. But I'll be honest, I'm not really that familiar with the whole Boston Irish mob thing or like Angiulo and stuff like that. Like I kind of just scratched the surface with that stuff. So I want to, you know, I've always been interested in that kind of stuff.
Me too. I read a lot about that stuff. And I love all the, you know, the New York.
You
put up, and I would think I contact you within 3 minutes saying, can I get a piece of that pile from the
and you know what, it's funny because that guy never got back to me. I have a piece of the ceiling, but that guy, he sent me a text message with pieces of tile and he was like, yeah, I have them for you. And it just so happened like the next day was his last day on the job at the old Ravenite. And I was like, all right, well, I can meet you at your next job, wherever you are. I'll come out there and I'll meet you. I will pay you for them, whatever. And I texted him so many times. And like every once in a while, you know what? Just for shits and grins, I'll text him as soon as we're done. And hopefully that he could have changed his number for all I know. I have no idea. But I'm like, yo, remember me? And I take the picture that he sent me, like, this is the guy that wants those tiles. And he never gets back to me, which pisses me off. Because there was like five to like... like three full tiles and a couple of halves and a couple of pieces. And I don't care. I just wanted to like one full one and a piece for myself. And then the other ones, someone that I know that appreciates it, you can have it. I'm not going to sell it to you. I don't care. You know,
I would have settled for a quarter size piece just to have, like, just knowing that those guys walked in and out there.
That's the floor of the Ravenite. Like everybody you can think of that was like somebody was on that floor.
Yeah.
I wanted that also just to counter the ceiling. You know what I mean? So I was like, here's the tiles and here's the ceiling. What happened? The characters and the conversations that happened in between these two things is incredible. Yeah. You know? So that was what my goal was, but this guy decided to fall off the face of the planet.
When the place was renovated, you know, I was down there. I think it was a shoe store for I don't know what it is now.
It's a high-end, super bougie clothing store.
Okay. Like
something that I would never, that none of us would ever wear. And the store is called Descendant of Thieves.
Yeah. Well, they've capitalized on that. But I thought it was cool that at least somebody, somewhere along the line, had enough brains to not rip the floor up.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it's pretty much intact. Like,
it's the same exact floor.
Yeah. Which that was cool to be able to, you know, go in there and see it, take a picture of it, you know?
Yeah. I had a friend of mine who was my old drill instructor from the Air Force. He was in not that long ago, him and his wife. And we met down there. And I was like, You want to go to John Gotti's old spot? And he's like, really? And now this guy sticks out like a sore thumb. He's from Texas. This dude is wearing a fucking cowboy hat and fucking cowboy boots. And he's walking with me and Nikki. And it's just very odd crew going on. And we walked in there and he was just like, he's like, you know, being from where he is and stuff, he's like, John Gotti is like a legendary mythical creature. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
he's just like, you know, you hear about him, but he's almost like not even real. But I was like, yeah, well, now you like, this is, you're walking on the same exact floor as his head.
Yeah, exactly.
And he was like blown away by that. Like, dude, like that. I never thought, like, well, you're welcome. You know,
I did a couple of matchups outside of there, you know, years ago. And I always liked that one. I don't know. It was Gotti was in a chair.
Yeah.
Laughing, and then the other guy was
just
like
pointing right at the camera.
I think you did that, right?
I did.
Yeah, and I said, you know, if I ever go back, I'll do, you know, there was no like bucket list or anything, but I said if I go back, I'll
it's like, such a good
one.
Picture.
And then you did it, and I was like, this is great. I love
this. This is such a good beginning because they're all hanging out.
Yeah,
he's just sitting there chilling, and they're all laughing. And this one guy has his face, and he has his finger in the camera off his side. Like, get this thing out of here.
Yeah, it's a great so shot. Good.
Yeah, it's such a great shot. Yeah, I had to get that. Yeah, definitely good shit. Yeah, that whole mob stuff, man. Like, listen, when are you coming to New York, Joe?
I got to plan something. Maybe in the spring, I'll piggyback on your trip up the arrow.
There you go. We'll meet up and we'll go. I don't know. We'll hit whatever you want to hit. We'll go on a mob tour. We'll do whatever.
And Danny, you know, just as welcome, but I had talked briefly.
Sure.
Joe Challenger about maybe him coming up from Philly, me coming down, Danny, you know, and maybe the four of us or something like that, you know.
That would be awesome.
Yeah.
That would be definitely very cool. What's that?
Can't wait to hit Philly, man.
I hit some of Philly, not all of Philly. I hit several things in Philly. I found like H.H. Holmes' unmarked grave and shit like that, which is outside of Philly, like certain shit like that. But I never got Rocky's house. I never got it. I got Paulie's house where Rocky throws the where Paulie throws the turkey out into the alleyway. Kensington. Like, I got that. What happened?
Let's go spend the day in Kensington.
Oof, yeah, that place is fucking brutal. That place, we got to go in like the winter on a Sunday really early. Like, and be in and out of there because Kensington is no joke. The worst neighborhood, probably the worst neighborhood I've ever been in my entire life.
Wow.
The worst, and that says a lot. I grew up in New York City in the early 90s, walking up to Harlem to do stupid shit, you know, like to buy dumb things. And, you know, the only white guy in the middle of 1992 Harlem with his burnt out buildings, and I'm there. But that didn't give me the feeling, maybe because I was young and stupid, but it didn't give me the feeling I had when I drove through Kensington for the first time.
Wow.
Yeah. I did not think that we were going to get out of Kensington without incident. And I was just ready to just make people into speed bumps if that was going to happen.
I'm looking forward to it.
You'll go through that whole rough thing, but if it's cold, he's out.
Yeah, exactly.
It's awesome. Yeah, good times, gentlemen. Good times.
Yeah,
we'll keep this whole thing going, and we'll narrow down a date. Like, I had drew out May, but it doesn't have to be May. I just drew something out there and see what happens.
Yeah.
So,
like you said, after lunch, it'll be past daylight savings, so you have some more daylight.
Yeah, and plus it's just warmer out, and it's just more pleasant for everybody.
Yeah,
you know, good shit. I'm looking forward to it.
I want to shout out to Danny Boy O'Connor and
Nico
and Mona and all the other OGs for leading the way.
Yep.
Delta Bravo does it better.
Damn Skippy.
Exactly. Yeah.
Look what it has done. It sounds so cheesy, but it's the truth. It's like on a whim, he finds this house, you know, on tour. And then it's like, next thing you know, people are booking flights to go take a picture of, you know, a wall. People, oh, that's a wall. No, that's not a wall. Like, so-and-so stood there on the back of an album cover. Like, that's just the, you know, like things like that, like these small little, very deep cut niche things that a small amount of people like. It's all like happening in real life. We're taking time out of our lives and jobs and families and all that stuff to do these things.
Yep.
Pretty incredible if you really think about it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I feel like us three and like, you know, you get Fred and Tim and Annie himself and all of that. It's stuff that we were interested in anyways.
Anyway, I say that all the time.
I used to see a photo of something and I'd go, I wonder where that was taken. And I'd be on the computer and whatever. And now all of a sudden we have like
a place to put it.
A place to put it. In a network, though, like, you know, you calling me, I'm talking to you, you know, it's Joe, what's it, where's it, you know, it's, oh, it's,
teamwork.
A lot of fun.
Yeah, it's definitely a lot of fun, and I don't see myself stopping anytime soon. There's always a place to hit. Oh, you know, I want to do this. I'm in New York, so I'm spoiled. Like,
endless.
Like, in endless a little, down there. Endless, endless. And, like, in a little while, I'm not going to go crazy today. You know, I'm going to relax a little bit. It's freezing out over here. But there's like two very, very local spots that I'll go hit. And I'll come back and I'll cook dinner and I'll relax and watch Good Will Hunting. You know, it's – but I always, on my time off, even like when I'm with my daughter. I don't have my daughter this weekend. But even when I'm with her, like it was not too long ago. There was really nothing going on. She was like, Dad, I just have to like use the bathroom real quick. So I was like, okay. She's like, no, let's just stop back at your house. And then if you want, like, you can go hit some Delta Bravo spots. And I'm like, really? She's like, yeah, it's better than just sitting in the house. I can just drive around. Next thing you know, we're all over the place. And she's, like, on her phone, like, looking up Basketball Diary stuff. So it's awesome that she's also into this. And there's certain things that she can't wait to see in Cali.
Generation.
There's certain movies that I'm not familiar with, but she loves and TV shows that I found that are in Cali that she wants to see. Like, there's a movie called Mid-90s. That Jonah Hill produced or something like that. She made me watch it. Would I watch it a second time? Probably not. But she loves it. And I found certain spots from it. Like they're playing, you know, they're skateboarding and stuff. I found she can't wait to go there. You know, cool. Like certain things. Like even like silly stuff like the E.T. house and the Poltergeist house and, you know, the Outsider's house. Like she wants to see all this shit too. So at least there's a little bit of that in me as well. A little explorer curious of where these things happen.
That's great.
So it's a beautiful fucking thing, man. So, yes, thank you, Danny Boyle O'Connor, for directly or indirectly creating this whole entire thing.
It is a beautiful thing.
Yeah, buddy. Well, gentlemen, this was awesome.
Yeah, almost great.
Almost an hour and a half, man. Go figure.
Right, fellas. Wow. Yeah, it's great to see you. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thanks for putting this together, Jimmy.
Yeah.
You guys make it easy. Like, yo, how about, you know, 11 o'clock tomorrow? Good. Danny, you good? Yup, done. I like when everything is easy. It's not overly complicated. You got to make a mountain out of a molehill. No, it's quick. Dude, done. Beautiful. Nice and easy, like Joe being a tour guide. Super simple and easy.
I said it 10 times, but I had a really good day that day. Just like showing you guys around and explaining the neighborhoods and explaining like where this was. And not to belabor this, but it's amazing where some of these movies, like there's like three or four movies all in the same intersection. Just kind of.
Awesome. Anyways, love it. Super interesting to me, and obviously super interesting to Danny, and good times all around. And you are very much appreciated, sir.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Gentlemen, we'll be talking.
Yep.
Until then, stay gold, my friends.
Stay gold.
Yep. Peace out.
Peace.